Welcome to the Six Ways from Sunday podcast. I'm your host, Ben Wilson, and on this show, we explore various topics of faith through casual conversations over a cup of coffee. And today I'm sitting with Robin King, our minister in both Basha and the Pinocchio United Church. We share Robin, and he bounces back and forth between Basha and Pinocchio each Sunday. But every Sunday, we also live stream those services, and you can check out sermons from any Sunday, actually going back over the last year or so, on our website, risingspiritministry.com. And Rising Spirit Ministry is the partnership between those three entities, the Basha, the Pinocchio Church, and then this online community that we're building through this podcast. And today on the podcast, Robin and I have got a really interesting conversation in store for you. And we're going to be talking about what happens and what does it mean when people either don't agree with you or they're just not even listening. Robin, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Ben.
I'm prepared to listen to whatever you have to say.
Are you sure?
I think I am.
It could be depressing.
I feel like I have an open mind, which is an important place to start. And I'm always interested in hearing what you have to say on the show and on Sundays in church. So why don't we, as a starting point, why don't you share with us what the script reading is or what the story is that you're going to be exploring on Sunday and in your blog this week?
Well, the story is, it's actually really interesting. It's actually really interesting timing for this story, because I had a conversation the other day with somebody who was very definitely not wanting to hear what I had to say about Jesus and about care and compassion and love, and they were very much on the fundamentalist evangelical end of things in a huge way. And last week, you know, we had the Pinocchio Stampede. We walked in the parade with a group that was that's forming a community gay straight alliance, a pride group in Pinocchio. And you know, these are all kind of moments where you just kind of think, you feel really good about sharing the message that you have, and then you realize that not everyone is hearing that in a positive way, right? Either they're not hearing it at all, or they are so not in agreement with you. And what do you do? Like, what do you do with that? Because you could very easily start to feel like maybe your message isn't something that people want to hear anyway, and you start to question it, right? And so then I read that, like, the scripture story for next Sunday morning is from Mark, and remember, we're making our way through Mark, right? And we've had these stories about Jesus does amazing miracles and cool stuff, and he's healing people, and he's getting to be something of a celebrity because he's doing all these healings and he's casting out demons, and then we had the story about Jesus calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee and saving the disciples and everything. And then we skipped over the story about Jesus crossing to the other side and casting out the demons into the pigs, who then ran into the lake. And then we jumped back on board again, no pun intended,
so to speak,
with the story about Jesus crossing back to the other side and the story of healing the hemorrhaging woman in the crowd. Well, on the way to supposedly heal a sick little girl, the daughter of Jairus, the local leader in the synagogue, who dies before Jesus can get there, they think. And Jesus, of course, just says, "Get up and come with me." And she gets up and she's fine. And so all of this cool stuff is happening. And then, so now we get to this story where I'm pretty pumped. Like, Jesus is doing cool stuff. Yay, Jesus. And he's got a great message. And I'm totally on board with that. And then we get this story where Jesus goes to his hometown and he goes to preach in the synagogue and he says some really cool and wise stuff. And the response of the people in the synagogue is to say, "Who the heck are you? We know you. You're Jesus, the carpenter from down the street. You're just a carpenter. How could you possibly know this stuff? You're the, in fact, they say you're a carpenter, the son of Mary, and your brothers and sisters are part of the community here and everything. We know who you are. You couldn't possibly," and they're offended because mm-hmm. here's this Jesus he's just a carpenter, preaching at him. And, excuse me, the first thing that, this week when I read that, first thing that popped into my mind was that we recently in Pinocchio, we'd been doing these series of, and we're continuing it in the fall, we'd been doing this series of meetings where we invite somebody from a different faith tradition to come and speak and talk about their faith tradition, so we can learn more, basically, mm-hmm. and understand more about different traditions. And so far, we've had somebody Ismaili Muslim. We've had Baha'i, somebody from the Baha'i faith, and Mormon. And in each case, it's been somebody who is a leader in their community, or has had a role as a leader in their community, who is not what we would call an order of ministry personnel.
Okay.
They have real life jobs.
Yeah.
But in their particular faith community, they also have a leadership role.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought, so, okay, so I happen to know this fellow who came and spoke us on behalf of the Mormon tradition and talk about what their faith is all about. And I happen to know he's a very well-known doctor, well-known physician in his own right. Does this mean I should have stood up and said, hey, I know you, you're a doctor, what do you know about this stuff?
Right.
Right? So here's the story of Jesus encountering that in his own, and of course he says the famous the prophet isn't welcome in their own hometown, has no honor in their hometown, that kind of thing. And then it says Jesus could do no deeds of power.
In his hometown.
In this community. And except he does, he heals a few people who are sick, and then he moves on to other villages. And I'm going to come back to that deeds of power thing, because I think it's the point here.
Okay.
But then it goes on, the story continues on, of Jesus sending out the disciples, the 12, the chosen 12, in pairs to go and heal people and cast out demons and do the work that Jesus is doing. And they're to take nothing with them except a staff, a stick, which could be a walking stick, it could be for defense, whatever, it doesn't really say. But it does say, don't take anything else with you, like don't take food, don't take a second coat, all that kind of stuff. Just rely on the people that you meet. And when you go to a place, and if you're welcome there and people want to hear what you have to say, stay there and talk to them, and then move on. And if they don't want to hear what you have to say, just move on. And as a sign of moving on, it's the famous brush the dust off your feet
on your way right? out.
Yes, as a testimonial that they rejected you, kind of thing. But again, move on. And then it says the disciples did many great deeds and blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
many, not all, but many great deeds. And it's kind of one of those. It's a reality check with Jesus, is what it is. It's a moment where Jesus seems to, the story, not even just Jesus, but the story is acknowledging that not everybody wants to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's Jesus' response to that? Move on.
Yeah.
Don't talk to somebody else.
Don't take it personally.
It's not, Jesus' response is not, first of all, Jesus doesn't say, beat them over the head with it until they give in and follow you. He doesn't say, use the power of the force to make them, right? And remember, this is the same Jesus that not, like, I don't know how many verses before, had power over nature, right? He could calm the storm at
right.
sea. He had that kind of power, right? He had power over demons. He has power over your physical health in all of these stories. And then suddenly, he has what? He could do no deeds of power.
Yeah.
So clearly, the story isn't about power. So what's it about? And I think this is a moment to remind ourselves that this story isn't about the power. It's about belief and faith.
So are you saying that that's why he wasn't able to perform miracles, essentially, in this place where people didn't have that belief?
See, I think you have a choice, because it doesn't clearly say. But I think you have a choice. Either Jesus was unable to perform deeds of power in his hometown because people didn't believe, or he chose not to because they didn't believe. And my understanding of that, I'll tell you right now, my understanding of that is he was unable to, because it says he was unable to. It doesn't say because they didn't believe, and it does say that he was amazed at their unbelief. Because they didn't believe, Jesus decided he wouldn't help them in any way. That is not the Jesus I know. But I think the point Jesus is maybe trying to make to the disciples is that you offer the story. You offer the story alive in you, right? Because we know that Jesus isn't just about words. Jesus is about action. Jesus is about the story being alive in you, right? Mm-hmm. You offer the story alive in you. And there will be people who will immediately go, that's awesome. I love that. I understand that. I'm connecting with that. A lot of them might be people who, as Jesus encounters them, are marginalized people in some way who he restores, right? Not just in terms of health or casting out demons and that kind of thing, but he restores them to their place, right? But just people generally, many will hear you what you have to say and they'll connect with it. Not everybody will. That there will be people who will turn away. They'll reject what you have to say. There could be any number of reasons for that. It could be that somebody's rejecting what you have to say because they happen to believe something else very strongly. It could be that they happen to fundamentally disagree with your point of view, right? It could be that they just don't like change.
Yeah.
It could be any of those things. And they're all legitimate reasons,
absolutely.
Right?
But all of those things imply that they're at least hearing you, and then they're making the decision to disagree or to not have an interest in what you're
selling. Yeah, so add to that list.
But then there's also the people that are just not listening. You just can't reach people.
Add to that the people who are just not listening. And so that could be a fairly extensive list. In fact, there's no indication whatsoever that Jesus changed the majority in an instant, right? In fact, history seems to show that, much like we were talking about the other week, how the kingdom of God is like a weed, right?
Yeah,
it's not like a great tree that suddenly appeared out of nowhere and took over everything. It's a weed that gets in different ways. Celtic tradition talks about how the light gets in through the cracks, through the brokenness, right? There's all sorts of different ways of looking at that. I love that Japanese tradition where if you break something like china or
pottery.
Something, a piece of pottery, you when you repair it, you make a point of filling in the crack with gold so that it's obvious, because that then becomes part of the story of it, right? There's so many different examples of that, but I had a conversation with somebody just the other day who was not, we ended up talking about the illegal immigrant issue in the States. And they were quite adamant that all of those illegal immigrants were, first of all, illegal. Secondly, it was about human trafficking or terrorists, and that they needed to be stopped. And I even tried to say, okay, we have a difference of opinion about that. But even with a difference of opinion, my biggest concern around that issue isn't that they're illegal, although I would question whether or not there is such a possibility as an illegal refugee, because you can't put those two words together. A refugee is a refugee. They can't be legal or illegal. They are simply a refugee. But in determining whether or not they are a refugee, whether they're illegal or not, that doesn't mean you can't treat them with care and compassion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just talking to somebody again this morning where they were saying that they'd had a conversation with somebody who was quite adamant that when those illegal refugees come into our country, we hand them a pile of money and we set them up in a job in their own place, and they get this and this and this, and they get way better than veterans get. That is actually not true. It's absolutely, unequivocally not true. Even the government has said that is not true.
That is not what happens.
It's not what happens. What happens when illegal immigrants come into Canada is they are arrested because they're illegal immigrants. It's just, when we think about that, when we see images from the U.S. of ICE arresting an illegal immigrant, we see them on the ground, handcuffs. We hear about them being separated from kids separated from their parents, and they're put in literal cages. When we see stories of illegal immigrants coming into Canada, we see pictures of people crossing into, say, Quebec or New Brunswick from the U.S. and being greeted by RCMP who helped them get across the border into Canada, carry their luggage sometimes, and help them. And the thing is, that's what we see, and we think, oh, we're just helping. They are then arrested and detained because they crossed into Canada illegally. It's against the law.
And there's a due process.
The difference is that what we're seeing is our law enforcement people helping them with compassion and care, not treating them and treating them like human beings, right? And the images, and I'm not saying that they all do it, but the images that we see in the news from the southern U.S. and places in Europe too, we see people being treated as if they're not human beings. We see them put in literally in cages. And that's not to say that when people come into Canada, we're such nice people, that when they cross into Canada illegally, we just let them come in and wander wherever they want, and we hand them a pile of money, because we don't do that. It's just that we're seeing different images here. And that's my biggest concern about some of these other situations, is that care and compassion went out the window in favor of enforcing the law with power and literally force.
So you have, and these people that would see it a complete opposite perspective of you, both have access to the same information and read the same news headlines. But so how is it that some people have such an opposite perspective? I mean, it's obvious just that we all are adding a layer of interpretation to everything that we hear and believe, and we all have our prejudices and we all have our opinions and unique perspectives. And so you land at this place where you, Robin, can see the situation in one way. The person you're sitting and having a disagreement with sees it completely the opposite way. And just as much as you are wishing that they would, you know, change their perspective or see it from your vantage point, they're probably thinking that, you know, they firmly believe that they're just right, that what they're saying is just true. Even if you ask them, well, what's your source? And they say, well, I don't know. They just know that they're right.
Right. Here's a difference, though. And this is part of the story, is that the story of Jesus saying, you know, the prophet isn't always welcome in their own hometown, and moving on and telling the disciples, just, you know, shake the sand off your feet and move on. Is that nowhere in this story does Jesus say you should do that, because those people who don't hear what you have to say are going to burn in the fiery lake. Nowhere does Jesus say that. Nowhere does Jesus say in this story that when you go and talk to people, if they don't immediately agree with you, they are A, fundamentally wrong, and B, going to burn in the very fires of hell for eternity. Jesus doesn't ever say that. As far as I'm concerned, I know there are some stories where Jesus seems to be saying that bad things are going to happen to. I get that. But I have difficulty reconciling that with the Jesus who loves everyone, with the Jesus who says we should love each other the way I showed you to love. I have difficulty reconciling that with the Jesus who says God's love is for everyone. That's why he reaches out to the marginalized and the poor and the sick, the people most in need. Jesus doesn't reach out to people who are already on his side, right? He reaches out to those who aren't.
And he does that in a way that isn't about converting or convincing. Right. He's just simply connecting.
Right. And that's of course, not including those people who are clearly not on Jesus' side because they never were. They're adamantly opposed, right? And this is the thing, is that I far too often find myself having conversations with people who don't agree with me, and I don't agree with them, and I just kind of think you're entitled to your opinion, and bearing in mind, of course, and I think this is really important to remember, hate is not an opinion. You are not entitled to hate. I can stand against that.
Yeah.
I can also stand against your opinion, by the way, because if I disagree with it, that's fine. We're disagreeing over an opinion, but hate is not an opinion. Mm-hmm. Hate is hate. And it's wrong. As far as Jesus is concerned, hate is wrong. Mm-hmm. Far too often, I find myself talking to people who clearly we don't agree, but I am not entitled to my opinion. In fact, because I have the opinion that I have, I'm going to burn in the fiery lake. And I'm so tired of hearing that. In fact, you're probably tired of hearing me say fiery lake, but I have heard it enough times that I'm sick of hearing it.
So do you struggle with not taking it personally?
You bet. and this is the thing about the story is, and that's why I say it's a reality check, is Jesus can say to the disciples, go and talk to people, and if they reject you, shake as a testament to their rejection, shake the sand off your feet and move on. And it's not that freaking easy. Mm-hmm. It's just not. And you know that the disciples are struggling with that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say that they do, but you got to know that they do because they're human beings,
they're
right?
They're human, yeah.
Given that even if your understanding is that Jesus is indeed the Son of God and the Word made flesh and love incarnate, Jesus is nonetheless a human being.
Yeah.
That's the point of the love being incarnate as us. So that God as us experiences what we experience as much as they are God, right? Mm-hmm. If that is your belief, if Jesus is God incarnate, or the Son of God, you still have to concede that the point of being human is to be human. So even Jesus, I think even Jesus would have experienced that, like in his own hometown. You can't tell me that he didn't walk away from that experience feeling sad.
Well, especially there, because these are people that, yeah, they recognize him, they remember him. He knows them, too. So
right.
Wouldn't he right. be even more excited about sharing his exactly. message with the people that he cares so much
about? That's exactly
about.
What I think about this story. I think it's again, like everything else, and very much like telling a story and listening. You can tell the story you want. If somebody's not listening to you and not hearing the story, you're just telling a story.
Yeah.
They're not hearing it.
Right? I think
there's two sides to that. And I always have, whenever I hear this story, and this story doesn't just appear in Mark, it's elsewhere as well, where Jesus, in fact, there's is it Matthew or Luke, where they want to throw him off the cliff or something?
Yeah.
And I hear this story and I think to myself, Jesus would have gone in there thinking, these are my people.
Yeah.
I'm talking to my people.
Hometown and audience.
And then they go, what? Who do you think you are telling us that?
Yeah.
And they don't want to hear it. And this is another piece of the why they don't want to hear it thing is sometimes it's familiarity breeds contempt, right? I mean, that's the standard go-to phrase for this experience. But sometimes it's also they don't want change. People just don't want to change. Mm-hmm. They think things are fine the way they are. And when I say fine, I don't mean necessarily that they're good, but they're okay with they're dealing with it. So mm-hmm. why mess with that, right? It's like suggesting that Jesus would have, Barabbas wanted Jesus to start a rebellion, right? Mm-hmm. There's a classic sidebar story, right? That the zealots wanted Jesus to wanted a revolt, they wanted a rebellion. And you can bet that there would have been a whole bunch of people going, oh, no, we don't. Oh, mm-hmm. no, we don't. We're fine, we'll deal with the Romans this way rather than having to deal with them when they're really pissed at us, because that's not going to be good.
Let's just not right? rock the boat.
Right, right. So maybe he's talking to a bunch of people who just, and you know, in those days his hometown would have been a tiny little village of nothing, like it would 100 and something people maybe, who were all sort of old school Jewish people that lived the way they lived for, you know, a long time, and they're not about to change that. But they were his people. He thought he was mm-hmm. preaching to the choir, right? And so I can't imagine that he wouldn't have felt sad about that. And hence the then going on to, I'm sending out the disciples to do basically what I do, and it says he sends them out to do basically what he does. But he feels the need to remind them that there's going to be people who don't want to hear what you have to say. And the mm-hmm. response to that is to not threaten them. Don't threaten them. Don't get mad at them. Don't try and convince them by manipulating them in any fashion. Just move on. And again, sure, the disciples are still going to be, they're going to be feeling that. And so what do you do about that? How do you deal with that? And I think the thing to do is to remember the story that we heard earlier. It's a weed. The kingdom of God is a weed. You could walk away from a conversation thinking that you made absolutely no headway whatsoever, but you may have planted a seed. And that could grow, right? We often hear, I was just talking to somebody this morning, actually, about Rachel Held Evans' new book, which is awesome, by the way. She wrote the name of the book now has gone out of my head, but she wrote a book about her coming to her current understanding of things. And she's not the only one who talks about, there are people who come from evangelical traditions and find their way not only out of evangelical traditions, but into a different way of seeing things, right? And it's almost like they, what this person was saying to me this morning was, it's almost like they, without even thinking, they found themselves moving away from, and I said, but no, that's the point. They did think. And I think that's what happens, is that if you come from a tradition where you are not required to think, in fact, you better not, you better just do as you're told, and because otherwise you're going to be in the fiery lake, right?
Mm-hmm.
There it is again. or this is how it's been since the beginning, so we better keep it that way. If you're somebody who thinks that way, you're not really thinking. You're locked into that mindset. But then maybe you have an experience, either from talking to somebody, or, and this is the best part about Jesus, is that Jesus isn't just about the words, right? Jesus is how you live your faith.
Mm-hmm.
So you experience somebody who lives their faith differently than you, and maybe that plants a seed that causes you to think.
I think
and
that's maybe always, moves you. That's always more moving and inspiring than someone explaining something.
But I think that's why this story isn't just, it's not just about being a reality check that this is how it happens sometimes, but it's also a reminder that even when that happens, that may not be a bad thing. It's because it may not be the end.
Yeah.
It may just be the start of that person thinking, or it may be somebody else watching that happen, that exchange happen, or watching or hearing about it and thinking, maybe that's worth a thought, or maybe I'll look into that. Maybe it's not about somebody badgering you with words, but somebody literally badgering you with kindness or compassion or care or love, regardless of who you are, that might change your mind about how we treat certain people, right? And that might open you up to thinking that Jesus is about inclusiveness, not exclusivity, but inclusiveness. That's what often comes from these exchanges. And so part of me wants to start looking at, like, when you first read this story, it's kind of like, oh, well, that's, it's actually, I was reading a blogger yesterday who said this is an unmiracle story, you know, like the unbirthday, right?
Yeah.
It's an unmiracle story. We've had all these amazing miracles. Jesus has done all this cool stuff. And here's a moment where Jesus acknowledges no cool stuff can be done here. And yet, in acknowledging that, he's also reminding us with that previous story that there may be something happening here, you just can't see it. And I think that's the hope that comes out of this story.
Yeah, I like that. It's not about writing people off or writing off a single conversation.
Yeah.
You got to give people a little bit more credit than that.
Yeah, it's not like Jesus said, yeah, so if they're not hearing you, cut your losses and move on, because who cares about them? He's not saying that. He's I think, just reminding the disciples that wherever you go, success isn't measured by somebody agreeing with you right away.
Yeah.
Right? It's the kingdom of God is a weed. The good news is like a weed.
Yeah.
Jesus is a weed. I think sometimes we can extend that metaphor a little too far, maybe. Okay. But that's the thing. And I think you said this when we were talking the last time. You reminded me that, because I haven't used this expression for a while. For a while there, I was really keen on using the expression Jesusing, because Jesus is a verb.
Yes.
And so here's Jesus talking about how he was doing some Jesusing, and it was not well received. So he told the disciples to go out and do some Jesusing. And by the way, when you're doing that Jesusing, it may not go well. And if it doesn't, fine, just move on. Don't stop doing the Jesusing.
Just keep Jesusing.
Yeah, sometimes the change is, and that happens is within you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that change in itself impacts others.
Mm-hmm.
And you might not readily see that. Move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop. Don't give up because somebody said, I don't like what you had to say. keep loving, keep caring, keep being compassionate, and do it even in, and that's the thing about these stories that we read about, like illegal immigrants and how people treat other cultures and other religious traditions. Not only keep doing it, but keep doing it with compassion and care and love, even in situations where it seems like that's something that might not even be appropriate. Yeah. Because it always is appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's powerful. Well, let's maybe wrap it up there for today, Robin. That's given me a lot to think about. I really like where we went with this conversation today. And it also kind of makes me think a little bit about even just this podcast that, you know, we're recording these conversations and it's always unplanned, unscripted. We just see where the discussion leads us, and we're sitting here, just the two of us, putting it out there for the world to hear, hoping that people are listening, hoping that people are impacted by these thoughts and ideas, but we have no control over that, and that's hard sometimes. And you know, you want to see 1,000 likes, and you want to see things, links being shared online, and you want to know, you want to have that validation that you're having an impact. And sometimes it's hard because you don't always get to have that. Or sometimes you walk into a church and there's only 15 people there that Sunday. And that can be frustrating because you've put all this effort in, you have something you want to share. And it's humbling sometimes to be reminded that we don't have any control over who's going to be listening or whether they're going to agree. We only can own and control how we respond, how we react, and whether we choose to quit. Yeah. Or to just
I know we wanted to curtail the conversation there, but you just said this, and this often strikes me. I know a friend of ours the other day posted something on Facebook after I'd basically talked about it for 20 minutes on a Sunday morning, and he posted something that encapsulated it in a quote from somebody else in like 5 lines. And I messaged him and said, if only you had posted this before, it would have saved us all 20 minutes of listening to me. But you just said what is a key part of all of this, validation. We're looking for validation. And I think Jesus' point would be that the validation that you need is you and what you are doing, not its impact on other people, but its impact on you and your sharing that with others. That's the real validation, is that you are doing it.
Mm-hmm. And however, you know, each of us, it's different for each of us. So now we will wrap it up.
Definitely.
We'll leave it there. So thanks for listening, everybody. And just an encouragement to keep on being your authentic self and sharing who you are with the world, because the world needs you. And each of us is different. Each of us is going to see things differently. But we just got to keep on Jesusing, like Robin says.
Absolutely.